from the very first chapters of the book of Acts. Just have your Bibles open there, and we'll be reading from different parts during the course of the sermon. On an occasion a little earlier, recorded in the 16th chapter of John, and they're going to have you to turn there, but Jesus told his disciples that, "I'm going to soon be put to death. I'm going to be buried, but I'm going to rise again the third day. I'm not going to stay dead." But when he talked to his disciples about dying, they were sorrowful. And in the 6 and 7 verses of that chapter of John, "Even because I said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Turn if you will with me to the first chapter of Acts. Verse number 4. "While were the disciples, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me." Commanded them to stay there in Jerusalem, to wait for the coming of the Holy Ghost, wait for the coming of the Comforter, wait for the promise that he was ascended unto them from heaven. The 5th verse says, "For John truly baptized you, baptized with water, but ye should be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Hallelujah. Then in the 8th verse, the very last words of Jesus that's recorded in all of the Scriptures, just before he ascended into heaven, from the Mount of Olives, he says these words, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And I say, amen. The power of the Holy Ghost. There's power in the Holy Ghost. Power. Thank God. Let me share some of you. Power to live an overcoming life. Power to be triumphant. Always triumphant in Christ. Power to live in victory. Whatever the circumstance, whatever we're going through, whatever happens in your life, power to be overcomers. Hallelujah. Power to stand up for the Lord in the last day. Power to witness for the glory of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. After Jesus ascended into the heavens, and the Bible says me that the disciples did exactly as he told them to do. They left the Mount of Olives. They returned to the city of Jerusalem. And while they were worshiping there, after some 10 days in the city of Jerusalem, praising and worshiping and magnifying God, the Bible says in the 4th chapter, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord, in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and filled all the house where they were sitting, and cloven tongues like as a fire came, and sat upon each of them, and they all received the Holy Ghost, and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit of God gave utterance. They obeyed God, and God did what he said he would do." Let me mark this down. He said, "When I get to the Father, I will send the Holy Ghost. I will send the Comforter. Not only will he be with you, he will dwell in you." They obeyed God, and the Lord sent the Holy Ghost, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me make a statement. Mark this down, you don't ever forget it. Every promise in this Bible that God had said would be fulfilled by now has been fulfilled. And every promise in this Bible that God has promised to be fulfilled, it will be fulfilled. You can mark it down. He never fails. Whatever God says he'll do, he'll do it. Some promises are conditional. That means if you do something, he'll do his part. But if we fail to do our part, then he's not bound to by that promise. But anything that is unconditional, when the Lord says, "I do something," he'll do it. I'm glad we're serving such a God as that. When the crowd that had gathered in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost heard the commotion, heard what was going on, when the 120 received the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues, came down out of the upper room, out in the streets of Jerusalem, and the people gathered there, and the word got out, something's going on, something phenomenal is taking place. There's some folk from there, from Italy, some from Greece, some from Syria, around about, and they said, we all hear these speaking in our own language, languages they've never heard, they've never learned. Somehow the power of God is moving in their lives. And the crowd gathered to see what was going on. And when Peter sees the situation and saw what was going on, and the interest they had, he began to preach. God laid his hand on Peter, he preached the first Pentecostal sermon. I've heard people say, if we were serving God like we were serving God then, we'll have the same thing. Don't ever believe that. What do you say, preacher? That was the initial evidence of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I want to make a presence that possibly can. People have never heard and never seen. People have heard so much in there, it's like water up a duck's back. It was real. Holy Ghost was moving. Holy Ghost is inviting. And Peter sees the opportunity with the Holy Ghost anointing him, and he preached. Let me tell you what he preached. No social gospel. He didn't preach coming out there saying, you're okay and I'm okay. He preached about Jesus. That's the need of the hour. Preached about Jesus, the crucified, the buried, the resurrected Christ. He's alive, he's alive. He's at the right hand of the Father. Because he said, when I arrive, I will send the Holy Ghost. And he's there, he's arisen, and now he's there, he's ascended. And now the Holy Ghost is on brother. When the Lord says something, you can stand on it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I didn't mean to tell you that we can't have revival. I'm trying to preach that we can. There'll never be another initial outpouring. There can be another outpouring. There'll never be another initial outpouring. And the Bible says that as you preach, some did not believe. But some did believe, and that day 3,000 were baptized. Accepting the Lord, and 3,000 were added to the church. Who's the church today? The blood washed. They didn't have a membership role. Then God brought them into his church. The church of the living God, having been saved by the grace of God through faith. And so Peter preached, and the people accepted this message. 41st verse said, and they began to receive his word, were baptized in the same day they were added unto the church, about 3,000. A few months earlier, while Jesus was with the disciples in Caesarea Philippi, he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let me say it again. Jesus said just before he went away, he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. On the day of Pentecost, I realized when he rose from the dead, and he breathed upon the disciples, and they accepted what has happened. Listen now what I tell you. The church is all doing this start. When the Lord said, I will build it, brother, he's a master builder. And he builds it well. Here we have 3,000 accepting the Lord on that first day, the day of Pentecost. And let God go a little bit further. And as I read the scriptures, I find in the third chapter, I mentioned the second chapter, about the day of Pentecost, I come to the third chapter of the book of Acts. And I find there's a prayer meeting going on in the temple at a certain time of the day. And two of the disciples felt like we need to go to prayer meeting. And so they make their way towards the temple of God. And while they're in the temple, as they're going, they find a lame man that has never been able to walk, that has never taken a step. I've been a lame person from his mother's womb. And he's got a cup in his hand, and he's begging because he cannot work. And he begs for money from the disciples. Listen to what I tell you now. The disciples said, Peter says, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, this is the part that I like to say, he has something. God help us today, has something. I get calls almost every day. I come to church every day. I get calls almost every day, sometimes two or three or four every day. People ask me, will your church have the utilities, or will the mortgage payment, or will something else? Because there's a needy world out there. And our board is disgusting among us. We do not have. You cannot help it. We have really helped a lot of folks. And I thank God for that. And we have mission-minded church. We're supporting, helping to support 12 different ministries around the mission world today. I thank God for all that. But you cannot. We don't have the goods to reach out to everybody. But they're hungry out there. But Peter says, silver and gold have I none. But I've got something. I imagine when he said that, someone turned over in this beggar's heart. Man, I'm going to get something. Now Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. And he took him by the right hand
and lift him up, the Bible says. He's never walked. He's never stood on his own. He's never taken a step. Peter takes him by the right hand and lifts him up. And the power of God, the power of the Holy Ghost, that had anointed Peter on the day of Pentecost, went through Peter's body to that man's ankle bones. And the Bible begins to say these kind of words. He began to walk and to leap and to run and praise God. Don't you know there was an exciting prayer meeting that day? Not if that people knew him. He's at the gate of the temple daily, placed there to make some money so that he might have something to eat. And today the man that has never taken a step, now he's running and praising and leaping, praising God, running and going into the temple with Peter and John. I imagine it almost broke up the prayer meeting. I doubt if that day they had any request to make. God, do this, do this. I believe they took the time to say, thank God. Give praises to God. Do you know what the Bible says? We need to praise Him. Not only that, but praise the Lord. And he came up from there. Can you imagine? Never having walked, and he stood up. I imagine that's enough to get your eyes wide. Then he began to jump. Then he began to walk and run. I'll do that too. You've never taken a step in your life, and now you feel you're strong. I imagine I would run all around the temple. Thank God, thank God. It's real. Hallelujah. Sometimes I don't even know the words to say, but brother, we're serving a big God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pentecost has just taken place. And now we're in the third chapter. And the Bible says, Peter and John, going to prayer meeting, I don't care. You've been filled with the Holy Ghost 50 years, 20 years, 10 years, or whatever. You still need to pray. They were going to the house of God to pray. And now this takes place. I believe when people pray, God moves. Things happen, and this man is now healed. And the word got out, the lame man is healed. The lame man is healed. And for the people gathered, and when they gathered, Peter seized the opportunity again, and he preached the second time. And this time, 5,000 more came to believe on the Lord God Almighty. Amen. Some did not believe. They believed it was sham. There was a farce, but those that believed, 5,000 more. When Jesus said, I'll build my church, brother, he meant he'd build a church. But it didn't sit well with the authorities. The Bible says that they called Peter and John, arrested them, put them in jail, cooled down. We can't have any more of this. You have preached about this man Jesus until the whole city is filled with the name Jesus. I wish the whole America would be filled with the name Jesus. I heard on the news they erecting a monument to atheism in Florida. Everything to put down Christianity. Now, the Supreme Court has made a decision about it's all right to have gays in there. The Supreme Court can do all they want to, they'll never change the Bible. God's got a plan, and God's plan is going to play out. Those who are against it have to answer to God. We're living in a perilous hour, the Bible says, but in that fourth chapter, I find Peter and John in jail before they were dismissed the next day, released the next day, and they were beaten and they were told, you are not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus. You can't preach it anymore. They'll take it back to jail. Then that night, the Bible. We take up the share of the word of Jesus. They went out. The Bible says they went. And they went to find the church folks. And they had a prayer meeting, praising and worshiping and magnifying God that they were kind of worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ. Too often, times when hardships comes, we throw up our hands. They were pleased to be able to suffer for the cause of Christ. Paul said, those that suffer with him shall reign with him. We like to have the crown, but we don't want to fight the battle. And there are battles to fight. And the Bible says in the 12th chapter of Revelation that we studied on Wednesday night, that when Satan is cast out of the atmosphere of heavens, here in that valley that Michael the archangel cast out to this earth. The Bible says in the 12th chapter of Revelation that Satan knows that his time is short. There's one other that knows him there too. I know time is running out. Satan will do everything he can in the last days to destroy the people of God, to keep people from being saved. But greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world. If God be for us, who can be against us? They went back to the church first and prayed, praising and magnifying God. We're serving a big God. When I come back to what I said a moment ago, how did they were put back in jail? Went back to jail again in that fourth chapter. Let me just leave something with you today. We are being in America, we really, all we know about persecution and suffering is what we've read in books or heard someone else testify. We got a call from one of our sponsored missionaries, Maxine Musque. Lopez. Her name was Jones. Before she married, and she was we supported her as Maxine Jones in Arizona 50 years ago. She'd been on the mission field. She came to the mission field while we were in Arizona pastoring. My wife and I were some of the first to visit them, her and her fellow worker, Valerie Webb, in Nogales, Arizona. I went back to our church and said we will try our best to help support this missionary effort. I got a call from Maxine. Her husband, Daniel, the same age as me. Maxine's almost the same age as my wife. She called me from Chesterfield this week. She's home on for a few days from Mexico. And I asked about the church. And she said, Manuel told me when I got to Virginia, or back to the States, call Abundant Life Tabernacle. Tell them. Let them know we appreciate all they've done over the years. All of these years, how you've supported. Brother Manuel, when he said, I can't travel anymore. Did you know he's 82 years old and pastoring two churches? And we helped build both of those. We got money for both of those churches. And they're located in one of the most dangerous areas of Mexico, Sinaloa. You heard the news, how did the gangs, killings, two churches they're pastoring in that very area. Persecution, like we've never known. Preachers, drug out of their churches and churches burned down. That's in Mexico. And she said, Brother Manuel said, tell the church. I said, Sister Maxine, let me give you a report. Our church last year hit there. We've given over $1 million to missions. Listen to what she said. Seems like about a half of that came to us. Because your support has been so good. I just want to share that with you today because you'll probably never be able to come and minister anymore here. Just want to share that. Peter and John went to jail the second time. They've been told not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus. But they did. They put back in jail. And the Bible says that night an angel came and let them out of jail. Isn't it amazing? God's got the master key. Wherever he needs to go. An angel came, opened the jail door, Peter and John, out of jail. And the next morning, the Bible says, that the authorities, the religious leaders that had not accepted Christ, that was down on Christianity, that did not want to hear about the Lord, they came together, they called the Sanhedrin court together. They're going to determine, what are we going to do? What shall we do with these two men? I'm going to read from the fourth chapter. This is the first persecution. They called them and commanded them, let's speak it all, not teach in the name of Jesus. That's what I've just finished. I'm going to go a little bit further. They went back and talked to the church. Look at the third of us. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost.
And they spake the word of God before us. They've been told, you're not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus. And that is forbidden you. And now they go back to the church and they have a prayer meeting. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken up where they were assembled together. Brother, that is a prayer meeting. Hallelujah. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They were ready to speak about the Lord. They were ready to witness. They were ready to share what God had done in their lives and tell him. In that chapter that I just read, I'll be a little bit further now. In that fourth chapter, they were arrested again. They were in prison from overnight, the 18th verse of the fourth chapter. And they were called. They called them and commanded them not to speak at all anymore in the name of this man Jesus. But they said something like this, and this is the part that I want to come to in this part. They said to the authorities, we've got to speak. I believe it was like this. I believe it was so, it's burning in their hearts in such a manner that it was just like Jeremiah. When I read Jeremiah said something like this, I preached and the people won't listen. I preached and no one seems to care. I believe I'll just give up. I'm just not going to preach anymore. No one cares in the hell. No one's accepting God. No one believes what word I'm preaching. I think I'll just quit preaching. And then he said something like this, but his word was like fire burning in my bones, and I could not hold it back. You know what he said? The fire of God was burning so real in his heart, I must tell somebody. I must tell somebody about Jesus. Do you know when revival will come? When the fire of God is burning in our hearts, then we must tell somebody. I must tell them about Jesus. We sing the chorus, stand up and tell them if you love my Jesus. Behold the living if you love my Jesus. Another song says, I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Listen closely. There's more than us telling Jesus. We need to tell the world about Jesus. That's the commission that we have. That's the command that God's given us. That's our job in as Christians today. Sharing God, sharing. We're going to have a vacation Bible school in 2 weeks. Your neighbors and my neighbors need to hear about Jesus. Last Wednesday night after service, Curtis and Anita were asking about the time of the vacation Bible school, and they found out that it was in the evening. Evidently they had not heard it, or maybe they'd forgotten. And Curtis told me, two grandsons, when he found out what time it was we were going to have, I'd like for my grandchildren to be in vacation Bible school. Listen closely. All children, all young people need to be in vacation Bible school. And if you're a parent that did not raise your children in church, and you look back and say, you can't change that at all. You can't change that. All you can do from now on is serve God with all of your heart. Live for God with everything you've got. If you've got children that were raised in your home and never went to Sunday school nor church because you were not a Christian at that time, don't give up on them. You keep on living right. You keep on praying. Keep on serving God. The Bible said it is burning in their hearts, just as it was in Jeremiah's day. They could not hold it back. They must tell. They must tell. They must tell. Then I come to the fifth chapter, and I got ahead of myself a while ago. Come to the fifth chapter. They're back in prison. They're persecuted. Persecution has come because revival has come. Holy Ghost is moving, and when the Holy Ghost moves, the devil is mad. And I've made a statement before, I'm going to repeat it. When the devil is mad, I'm glad. That means he's stirred up. I've heard people tell me, Brother Jones, the devil hasn't been after me. I don't know what people are talking about. The devil's been after them. People tell me that, I'm sure, really. Maybe he's already got you. Amen. The Bible said they went back to jail. This is the time that I got ahead of myself. The angel came, opened the jail cell, let them out. They go back to the people, to the church folks. The next morning, the authorities come, gather together. They're making some decisions. What are we going to do with those holiness preachers? What are we going to do to quiet them?
How are we going to stop them from preaching about this man Jesus? His name is everywhere you go. Go to the marketplace, they're talking about Jesus. Go to the temple, they're talking about Jesus. Go to the streets, they're talking about Jesus. We want to quieten them down. What can we do? And so finally, I want to come back to the Bible. Finally, because I want to read it right out of the scriptures. Finally, when they sent someone to get Peter and John out of the jail, let me find where it is. In the 5th chapter, the 19th verse, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them out. Hallelujah. The 21st verse of the 5th chapter. The last part of the 21st verse. But the high priest came and they that were with him and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have Peter and John brought out. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison here the found was shut with all safety and the keeper standing without before the door. We came to the prison, the door's locked, and the guards are still standing around. But when we had opened, we found no man within. But if the Lord tells us, I can promise you what little I know about the Bible, and I study and read every day, if the Lord tells us whether or not you're on the bed, there will be persecution in America. And I have no doubt telling you that it will be headed up by our government. We are going away from God in America. We're leaving the principles of the Bible. Man has come to the place where he feels like he knows better than God. But man cannot change the word. That angel took Peter and John, led them out of the jail, and when they sent the people to the jail to bring them in, the Bible says, when we had opened, we found no man within. I'm going to close. We are serving a big God. We're serving a God that knows how to deliver. We're serving a God that knows how to take care of his own. And I want you to mark this down. I don't care what happens in America. I do care in a sense, but whatever happens, let me say it that way, whatever happens, our God is still in control. He is not going to turn control over to the Antichrist. He's not going to turn it over to the devil. God is still in control. And when they went to the jail cell to get to Holy's preachers, they were gone. And I close. And one day they're going to look for me, and I'm going to be gone. We used to sing a song, you will look for me, but I'll be gone. Oh, I'll be gone, yes, I'll be gone. Well, you may look for me, for I'll be gone. I'm going to be leaving. When are you leaving, Brother Jones? I can't tell you. But I'm going to be leaving. The devil might seem that sometimes he's got you in a box. You might feel as if sometimes he's got you hemmed in. Sometimes you might get sick, or maybe you'd be up in age and feel like, well, I am no benefit to the kingdom of God. Why? Sister Goldie has mentioned to me when I visited her in the past years. Why did God leave me here? Here I am in the nursing home. What can I do? Why? Why not take me on the door? Let me leave something with you. God is still in control. Amen. He's got a plan and he knows what he's doing. And as long as he leaves us here, there's something for us to do. Even if you can just smile when someone comes into the room. Or when the nurse comes in to give you a shot, say, thank you, ma'am, even for a shot. Whatever. Maybe God has left some things like we are so that we can have Holy Ghost revival. Let me leave one thing with you. Just a little bit further down. God had been moving 3,000 saved, 5,000 saved, preachers being released from the jailhouse. And now they've gone to find them and they're gone. One other outstanding thing that happened. God was moving in such a way, such a manner. When it came time to pray for the sick, they did not have enough strength to pray for everybody. They brought them by the hundreds, no doubt by the thousands, because of what God was doing. I read in the Bible that the people brought their sick and they laid them, put them there beside the road. The son was yonder. All Peter did was walk. And the shadow of Peter fell on them. And when the shadow fell on Brother David, they came over there, healed by the power of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The power of God is real, even if it's a shadow. Yeah. The power of God in the shadow of a homeless preacher is stronger than all the power of the enemy. Amen, amen. Lame and sick and palsied up and diabetes and neuropathy and heart trouble and all the rest. And when the power of the shadow of the Holy Ghost and the shadow of Peter fell over them, they say, welcome there. Praise God. We're still serving the same God. Yes, they had that kind of revival then. Our God is still the same. We can have the same revival today. What do you mean, preacher? The power of God has not diminished at all. If my people that call them on me shall pray, and humble themselves, pray to seek my face, and come from every good days, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. I will heal. What did he say? I will heal. My wife needs a healing just from heaven. Sister Mary Jane needs a healing just from heaven. And so of our church needs a healing just from glory. He's still the healer. But as long as we prayed 100 times, come back again. Hallelujah. 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 How about 150 times? Go back again. Come on to the piano, honey. Now close it. Bible lets me to know. So many round up. Just the shadow of Peter. He's felt the power in his hand. Went to the lame man and he came up in there running and leaping and jumping and praising God. I was sure a lot of sin. I like to be standing close by when Peter began to walk. And the shadow fell on one after another. Hallelujah. 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 Can God still do it? Is God still God? Do you believe it's God's desire to give revival? Do you believe it's God's desire?